1, 2, 3. Interview for the Brickmakers Oral History Project. The date is June 26, 2007. This is Andrea Lungier, and I'm here today on Minot Avenue in Auburn, Maine with Richard LeBlanc.
Yes.
And Richard, could you start just by spelling your name for me?
LeBlond.
And where were you born?
Auburn.
Right here in Auburn?
Right here in Auburn.
Have you lived here your whole life?
My whole life, yeah.
And what is your birth date?
January 24th, 1933.
And so, when did you first work in a brickyard?
In 1945, I worked at Mullins Brickyard. I was sanding at the time. The sanding process is when the strike is the guy making the bricks, they lay it out in the yard, and when you get so many moles up, you take dry sand and you sand over them so that the bricks won't crack in the sun. That keeps it from cracking. And the sander's job is to go to the other yard next door and let out some sand, make sure you always have some sand ahead for the next day. And this way, you keep going. If you run out of sand and then you have your wet sand, it's a basket with a screen in it, and you screen it over it. And if you have wet sand, it don't work too well, so it's just got a job. But that's what we used to do. And in the afternoon, we used to wheel brick. We used to wheel it off the yard, the dry brick, to put in the kilns. Strikers would take out 10,000 bricks in the morning.
Yeah.
Then you got to fill your pit for the next day. They scrape the clay off the banking, bring it up to the pit, and you shovel in the pit with water. And then you let that set overnight. And after that in the afternoon, well, we wheel bricks or did other jobs around the yard. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I did that for a couple of summers.
When you were 12 and 13?
12 and 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids doing that. The Jaguar brothers, there was four of them. And they're all dead now, the whole family. A lot of guys are going, yeah.
Now, did you work at other brickyards later?
After I came out of the service, Roland and Myers Dennis had started the Kennebec Brick. And I worked up there for a couple of summers. But we were traveling from here at first. We'd leave here about 4:30 in the morning and come back home at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And over there, we were only five or six of us. So we had to take out the bricks, wheel, set up the kiln, we had to burn, you know, the kiln at night, and go get the sand, go get the salt. I mean, it was long days. So we were working 6-7 days a week.
Yeah.
We did that I started there the week of the 4th.
And where was that brickyard?
Between Sydney and Augusta, on the back road, yeah. It had been an old brickyard years ago, and they reopened it. So there was a lot of work to do, building up the sheds and all that. And when we burned the kiln, after the kiln was built, we worked 36 hours straight. Then we sleep a couple of hours and start over again. But we were still making bricks, going out, getting the sand, and doing all that work at the same time. Because
yeah.
We were only four or five of us maintaining the, yeah.
Did it pay well?
Not really, but it was all right.
Yeah.
It was fun.
A lot of hours.
Oh, yeah, a lot of hours, yeah. You worked on a lot of hours. And, yeah. And the kilns, I mean, there was 10,000 bricks per door. And I think the kilns we burnt we were burning 12 doors at a time. So it used to take us a month, month and a half to make a whole kiln. Yeah. And after they set up the benches, then the doors, then they start building you had to know what you're doing building the kiln. You had to set your bricks a certain way so that the flames would go up through.
Uh-huh.
And then after the kiln was all done, you'd plaster it all with mud, with clay and sand, so it wouldn't, to keep the heat in.
Right.
And on top you'd put on some ready-cooked bricks on top of the kiln to keep the heat in while it got going. Then you put a shed roof on top of that wooden planks for a few days to keep, so that if it would rain, hard, it could ruin your kill. But this way, with the planks, it would keep the rain out. But after a few days, it was so hot, you had to take them planks off.
Yeah.
After that, it didn't matter if it rained. And during the process, while the kill was baking, it would shrink. So you had to go up on top to tighten up them bricks. Now, this was hot. You had to tie boards on your feet. You couldn't walk on it. You had to tie some boards, and then sometimes they catch on fire. Oh, yeah, it was hot, believe me. Then he has his spare bricks to fill in. And on the ends, they used to put a roll, they used to call it scoven, it was all old brick. They'd build a wall, I think it was 6 inches in between. You'd fill that up with sand, because there's not the heat in the ends would, it wouldn't get that much heat toward the end. So they'd keep that to keep the heat in. So they'd fill that up with sand probably 3/4 of the way up, keep the heat in. And when we get done, that sand was bright red. It would really bake it. And when we were burning, you had to keep the fire going. I mean, that was hot. So we used to take these big chunks, and you open up that small door and you put the chunk in there. And they call it poling. You used to take a long pole with a pick on it, and you drive that piece of wood to the middle of the kiln because you couldn't throw that slab that far. And that, you had to wear about 3 pairs of pants and gloves, and you do a couple of doors, and I mean, you had to back off a little bit. And sometimes we had to pull about 12 doors. And we used to keep the pole in water, whatever you had a pick on, keep it in water all the time. And after 2 or 3 doors, at the end, when it was really hot there, that pole would catch fire, so you had to keep changing poles. But that was hot, that poling was hot, that was hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of dangers in terms of being burned?
Always. Yeah, not real danger, but if you're careful, you're all right. Some of these guys that thought they were tough, you know, and they try and do it without, and there's no way you could, I mean.
Yeah.
No way. And on the machine itself, when you used to make bricks, you'd start in the morning, that clay, that pit was full of clay. Then you'd have to dig your way down to the bottom so it would work easy. Otherwise than that, you were in clay up to your knees, shoveling to fill the machine. And you had to put so many shovelfuls of clay and then a shovel full of sand. And they'd let you know out front if the clay was coming. You know, you could adjust, you know, you put more sand or less sand and more clay and more water, and you'd keep that. And by the end, you were in the pit. Then it was on a wooden floor.
Mm.
I mean, the pit was above your head.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could work from the bottom, it was easier. You could slide the shovel on the floor, you didn't have to carry it. And then when you get your hole down bottom, then you start, and you do that, then you switch off, you go so many thousand, then you switch off, you keep moving around like that. And then when you get done with that, then we'd have to fill that pit for the next day. They'd scrape the clay off the bank, and then you'd put that, fill up your pit like that. Then we'd wheel bricks again in the afternoon and do whatever I had to do. So it's pretty intricate process.
Yeah.
But some nights, I mean, I don't care if it's raining, we had some sheds built up over the woods where the doors are, where you work there. So we could keep the wood dry and we'd stay in there. But that was long nights, I mean. And every so many hours, you had to do that again to replenish the woods, because that slab, they burn quick. So, and after that, when them big pieces were in, then we'd take slabs and we'd shoot them in to fill up the hole, and we'd cement that door. And we had a brick that they had built into the bench. Called the, you could open that up, and you looked in there, and there's white heat, and I mean white heat. And by the end there, I mean the flames are almost reaching the top. I mean the heat, I mean. Yeah, I remember going up there and closing up the top there, and them boards would catch fire. Yeah, it was hot. Yeah, but it was a pretty good job, really.
Yeah. So when
I did that when I came out of service.
Now, what branch of the service were
the
you
Army.
In? The Army.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of jobs. I come out in March, and I had a couple of jobs here and there. And then Miles asked me to go to work for him, and I started there the week of the 4th. Boy, whatever. That was quite a job.
Now, because I'm not I don't know a lot about this process.
Okay.
But when you mixed the clay and the sand and got it ready, did you put it in forms?
Oh yeah. In the front of the machine there's a tray. There's 6 bricks in it. Okay? And then there's a cover on it. And you put that in the machine, and there's a handle, you push the plate, the tray into the machine, then there's a paddle on it, and you jump on that, and then the clay comes down into that mold. Okay? Then you pull the handle back, and you take a strike of the stick, and you clean off the top of the mold so it'll be even. Then there's a buggy over here, and you have 6 trays, 6 in a mold. You put them on that little truck. Then you put the other one in, and when your truck is full, you take off. You don't walk, you jog. You gotta jog. I mean, you gotta keep moving. You get down on the yard, wherever you're gonna dump it. Then, you have a little, 2 pieces of wood on the side of the handles. Now this foam, on the when you pick it up, it's on the fingertips alone. You gotta flip it on your fingertips to put it on the yard. Then you slide that cover off, and your bricks just fall out on the yard. They fall out of the section to keep them in.
Okay.
Then you take that, put it back on the round, and you keep jogging for all morning.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah. Some of these guys, the old brickmakers, they did that for years and years and years. Yeah.
Do you know how far back the brickmakers go?
No,
did you know any old timers when you started? Had they been there a while?
I think. Oh yeah, some of the guys that I went, when I worked at Marlins there, some of these guys have been making brick for 10 years. Every summer they go back to the brickyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. There used to be a brickyard on Bartlett Street.
Oh, really?
Exactly. Right above the, right in the hill, as you go up Bartlett Street, down where the, well, they built that big, that home for, for the state or something there.
Okay.
Right across the bakery. That used to be a brickyard at one time.
Huh.
Yeah, there was one on Brooks Avenue on Main Street, off Main Street out in Weston. Yeah. But that was a good side yard over here. LaChance, I think the name was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, I've heard that name.
Yeah, then they had one in Yarmouth, LaChance. And yeah, there was a. It was quite a process.
Yeah.
Then you let it dry. You let them dry on a yard for a few days. And after that, when they were ready, they used to call that hicking the bricks. So you pick up 6 bricks at a time, and then you put them up all in one row. On the yard, so they'd really dry over there. Then you have these caps that you put on so the rain wouldn't. And a lot of times, you did your 10,000, and it rained overnight, and they weren't quiet. Well, these bricks were a little different. They used them for backing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And after a while, the bricks that are, you know, burnt and all crooked and stuff like that, they become very popular at the time.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But you can't get any of those. The only place you can get those is close to the bench down below, where the real heat is, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's some brickyards, when you clean your benches out like that, they throw those away. They pile them up in a place, they throw them away. Well, when they get popular, they dig them up. You ain't got a lot of money, you know? So that brick was all, just sit there, nobody, you know, it won't rot.
Yeah.
So they dug them bricks out, and they were selling them. Sort them out and sell them. They made, you know, they were getting good prices for them antique bricks. So it was quite, but in the bottom of the bricks there, they burnt. I mean, they were so brittle, you'd hit them together, they'd fall apart.
Oh, yeah.
They were really brittle, all black. All crooked.
Yeah.
But they were selling. I remember in Colby College, there's a lot of houses that were building, this contractor that he was building houses up there. And he bought a lot of these bricks from us. They make the front of the house, you know, something like that, just for as many bricks they could do. They'd build the front of the house, the chimneys, the fireplaces.
Mm-hmm.
They'd build that with antique bricks like that.
Did a lot of the bricks go to local areas?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Ship them at our lot, out of state.
The telephone building in Royston.
Uh-huh.
My brother-in-law, the kill, each yard, each crew had certain kill that they built, I guess. And that the bricks that these guys made, these three guys, they ended up over there in a telephone building in Washington. Morin sold a lot of bricks in the Twin Cities. Dennis had two kinds of brick. They had the water struck and the wire cut.
Well, what's the difference?
The wire cut brick is very smooth surface. Now they have they have a machine similar to that, but when it comes out, there's wires that cut the brick. But this top is very smooth. It's brittle, more, you know, it's brittle compared to the water struck. But it's a nice finished brick. It's, St. Louis Church, that's wire cut. And there's quite a few buildings wire cut brick. That's the difference. It's cut. And these, they don't lay on a yard. They have little trolleys, little carts, and they put them in there and they wheel them around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the sheds. They don't go on a yard. They're water struck.
Yeah.
They don't have to sand them. They stay right on them pallets. And then they move the pallets and haul them over. They haul them the same way we do. So that's the difference. Your water struck, I think the mold, the clay is harder when it comes out of the machine compared to the water struck.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll cut the... It's a square brick. It's very square, that wire cut.
Now, you grew up in Auburn.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up in Auburn in the 30s and 40s?
Really? I thought so.
What part of Auburn did you live in?
I brought up on 4th Street in Auburn. Yeah.
In New Auburn?
New Auburn, yeah.
Yep.
We moved there when I was 5 years old, I guess, when I moved on 4th Street. And I was there till I went in the service.
Yeah.
And then when I come back from the service, we were living on South Main Street. My dad had bought a house up there. And after that, I got married and we moved out. Then I lived in Lewiston for a while. And I came back to Auburn. Then I bought this place about 35 years ago, I guess. We've been here ever since.
Did you have a lot of brothers and sisters? Or?
I had six brothers. I had three brothers and three sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there's one in Portland, Oregon. There's one in Germany. And I have a sister in town, and the other one died. Yeah. So you guys doing a lot of interviews? They didn't go on the yard. It was on pallets. Okay? And they used to strike the same way with the mold and everything. But when they turned around, there was a pallet on a conveyor belt. They put it on the belt, then they'd put it on these little trolleys. They had hundreds of them. And then that's where they would drive. They would drive right on the trolley, these guys. They'd move the trolleys around. It's on a railroad track, and they had two sides that they'd put the trays in. They'd fill those up, and that's how they operated. But that pit was real big. And that was a tough job, shoveling that pit.
Yeah.
I remember this guy, Sear. I mean, he was... I don't know if you weighed 120 pounds soaking wet, but that man was something else. I mean, he'd shovel that pit like nobody's business. I remember one time he had busted his ribs or something, and the machine went dry, and they found him. He had passed out in the pit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, but he was a nice guy. He was a nice old man, very pleasant. And the Bowleys, I mean, Henry Bowler, this guy was something else, too. There was a lot of characters, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that clay, you'd work in clay all day long, you'd take a shower, and first thing you know, it'd come out through your pores again. I mean, you know, the dust and stuff like that. And yeah, you're always working barefooted, so.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You
couldn't have worn shoes. I mean, you'd have been soaking wet all day, but at the end of the day, you couldn't be running with them. No, you work barefoot in a bank suit, that's all you are. And late fall, I mean, these guys that, like Morin, they worked as late as they could. And, I mean, some mornings they started working, they had to break the water out that they had a trough there, so to soak the molds and stuff like that. They had to break, there was ice on there when they started in the morning. know, them early fall mornings.
Yeah.
I mean, there was ice on there. It's pretty cold on the beach.
I guess so. I wouldn't want to be
barefoot.
On the beach.
Yeah. A lot of guys didn't have, but I'd ride this or kind of that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And burning, that was another job. That was hot. Long nights. Rain, I mean, rain or shine, I mean, you had to...
You had to keep the kiln hot.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Hot,
definitely. If you'd let it go, you'd have lost it.
Yeah.
You had to keep it till the bricks were cooked, you know?
Yeah.
And then on the top, they had that light, hard brick. I mean, it was almost yellow because there wasn't that much. It was enough to bake them, but there was no color to them. So they used those on the inside. The braces used those for backing and stuff like that. And we used to keep some of the yard to build in about the outside of our kills and
yeah.
make the doors and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So we used that for that, but... And, yeah, that yellow brick, they use that for backing. And what else is there? Oh, yeah, we used to haul, go on haul wood out in the middle of the wood, pick up slabs. We had to have fairly dry wood, you know. Otherwise than that, it wouldn't burn.
It sounds like that probably was a hard thing to keep up with the supply of wood.
It was. Because I remember going from Sydney. Morris had found some dry wood. We needed dry wood, and he had found some dry wood. And I remember going to Belgrade, 10 o'clock that night, and this guy took me out in the middle of a wood lot over there. He had some dry slabs, and raining to beat hell, and I loaded slabs. I didn't get back to the yard until 3 o'clock that morning. Yeah, the guy left me out there all alone, and I loaded the truck. And then I got some sand. We used to haul some sand, and Roland did a lot of delivering and took care of the bookwork, but he helped when we were burning. But on the yard itself, there was Rainey, Morris, Kyle, the kid, he lived right above the yard in Sydney, myself. So everything else we've done. And then Morris's relatives, his uncles and cousins, when we were short of help and we were really plugging to finish our kill, these guys would work all day long in town here. Then they'd come up at night and they'd wheel bricks for 2-3 hours to help us out. Then they'd come back home.
Yeah.
But every once in a while we needed help. His cousins were very nice people. They used to come up and help us out. Yeah. And Morris, he was something else. After we'd had worked 10, 12, 14 hours, we'd go to bed. We had fixed up a shack up there to sleep after a while. Morris would go out and get on the tractor and he'd work in the yard and do this and all kinds of that. The guy, he never sleep. In the wintertime, he's delivering oil there. He used to do that and then work here and work there. I mean, that guy worked very, very hard. He's a hard worker. Yeah. It was a lot of traveling, too. I mean, you know, we leave here at 4:30 in the morning and never get back home till 6, 7 o'clock at night. Long trips. After we fixed up a shack down there, it wasn't bad. We slept in there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't nothing special, but we didn't have to travel. Yeah.
So the brick making was something that couldn't happen during the winter months at all.
No.
Just had to shut down and wait till spring.
And I think Marlin, I haven't been to Marlin's for years, but now the everything is animated. I mean, it's everything is... Now they burn with oil.
Uh-huh.
When they first started to burn with oil, they burn, so we'd say, 12, 15 days with oil. But then they finish it off with wood. Because wood is the thing that gives it the color.
Okay.
Okay? But now, I don't know if they still use wood or they found a way to do it. I have no idea. But that's what used to give it the color, is the wood. That's why they used to... The benches were all set up all the time. They didn't have to take them apart because they didn't have that heat of the wood, you know.
Right.
But they had a way to fix it up. They didn't have to take their benches apart. We had to tear down right to the ground and start over again.
Yeah.
Because them bricks were all crooked and the benches were falling apart. By the end of the kill, the benches were starting to collapse, you know. Because there was nothing left to them. They were all... So that's why we stopped it. We had to clean up and start over again.
Right.
Yeah, we had these wooden doors, these metal doors, and once we finished filling the doors with poling and filling up the slabs, we sealed them doors. Then there was the hot side. I mean, that was hot. When we opened that side, you knew you were in for a lot of heat.
Yeah.
But you look out, you look inside, and it was just white heat. I mean, yeah. Oh yeah, you had to keep it going, otherwise than that, you lost your till.
Yeah.
And that's why we put the shed roofs up on top and stuff like that. It's all ledger boards, long ledger boards.
Yeah.
All it was posts and beams, and we nailed ledger boards on them. Yeah.
When you built the kiln, how long would it last?
The kiln?
Yeah. Would you have to rebuild another one?
After the kiln was done,
yeah.
You let it cool off.
Yeah.
Then you take all the bricks out of that. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you'd build another one.
Oh, so it was a constant.
Oh yeah. Marlin had.
Yeah.
I believe Marlin had had places for three or four kilns when I worked there, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had places for two
okay.
kilns. We'd build one and work on the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting work at one time.
Yeah.
And wheeling bricks, that was fun. Then this guy, you had to know how to set your kiln so your bricks would be set in that way so the flames would come through. You know, you had space all the way down the bottom so your flames would go through, and you had to know that.
Yeah.
Then you would wheel them and toss them. Then you had to toss four bricks at a time. And if you didn't fry, the bricks were all over the place. The guy can say, so you toss four bricks, and the guy on top, they were intact. You'd catch four at a time like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember doing that, and especially with loading the trucks after you toss like that. And you had mittens with two thumbs. So one side was one, you turn the mitten around. Otherwise than that, you'd forever buying gloves.
Right.
You know? Yeah, the mitten had two thumbs on it.
Wow.
I thought it was pretty interesting. I liked
yeah.
it. I wouldn't want to do it steady, but, you know,
yeah.
probably at the time I was 21 years old, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
Long hours. Yeah.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you think is important to add?
Well, I know you drank a lot of beer that summer.
Yeah.
All right. I've had a few beers.
Oh, yeah.
I had to keep going. But when you burn, you burn the kiln there, you work for, you know, 2-3 weeks, or steady, 7 days a week. And when you let down, you stop working, the kiln's all burnt, and you just,
yeah.
I mean, you're dead. You know, you don't feel, after you rest, it's hard to get going again.
Yeah.
But we had to get out some more bricks. Then the yards are like Marlins. It's unbelievable the clay that they've taken out of that yard. What, the company 90 years old, 100 years old, and they're still taking clay off that banking. And I mean, they've taken a ton of clay out of that thing. That banking must have been 50 feet higher than it is now as you go into the yard, at least. I remember the long, long road. I don't know if they buy it from somewhere now or they still get it there, but I mean, they're still making bricks.
Huh.
They've got a lot of bricks. That's the biggest around right now, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about all I can remember.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much
for your
time.
You're very welcome.